is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Hello everybody, this is Debbie Powell, the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne Counties, and I am sitting at the office in San Andreas, which used to be the former CCWD building, which is Calaveras County Water District. And I'm going to be talking to Bob Dean, and Bob Dean used to be on the board for Calaveras County Water District, and we're just going to simply talk about water in general. So hello, Bob.
Hi.
How are you doing?
In this heat, I'm doing all right.
Oh, good, good. And water, I mean, it's hot today, but water can be really a hot topic sometimes.
Yeah, it can be. It can be.
If you don't have water, it's hot.
If you don't have it, you don't have anything.
Right, you know? Right. That's true.
Back in the, I guess it was 4th century B.C., a Greek philosopher named Thales said, the water is the source of all things. And I think we're only now beginning to realize that he probably had some accuracy in that statement. So
he was extremely accurate.
Yeah, yeah.
I would go to say. Now, how did you get first interested in water, and what kind of motivated you to actually participate in the board, as far as the board for?
When I ran for the board first time, I used to joke around and say the CCWD, that's Calaveras County Water District, used to be the centerfold for the grand jury report.
Oh.
They had a lot of issues. And I ran essentially to see if I could make a difference in how they govern themselves.
Okay.
And when I was elected, I went in there and realized that I really didn't know a thing about water.
Oh.
I mean, I drink it.
Right.
You know, I use it in the garden. I do all kinds of stuff with it, but I really didn't know much about it, particularly when it came to the public use of water, water rights, and all that kind of stuff. And some of that kind of stuff is still very confusing, but so I spent a lot of time and did a lot of studying, and it became a really interesting experience. I was able to serve for 9 years, two terms and an extra year when we extended a year to get on a different election cycle. And during that time, I served also on the Aqua Board, which was the Association of California Water Agencies. It represents about 27 million people in the state.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge because they have all the water agencies, Metropolitan Water District, East Bay Mud.
Okay.
We're just a little dinky organization compared to them, but I was able to get on their board and actually serve on their executive committee for a term.
Wow.
So I had a good experience in the water world. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a real good experience. But everything came back to Calaveras County.
Okay.
And by extension, the foothills. I don't know a great deal about the water in Tuolumne, at least the water rights issues and things like that in Tuolumne County, but I know that they're faced with the same kinds of problems that we're faced with.
Mm-hmm.
We have surface water, and the best that we can do at any given point in time is wave to it as it passes through our county and out of.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, we're associated with three rivers. We've got the Stanislaus, the Calaveras, which is wholly within Calaveras County,
right.
And the McCollumy. And the Stanislaus and the McCollumy are our political boundaries as well as our source of water.
Right.
One of our sources of water.
Mm-hmm.
Two of our sources of water.
Okay.
Anyhow, Stanislaus River, obviously, rises up in Stanislaus County, and when they come together and form the different forks and get impounded in New Melodies and stuff, they are the border between Tuolumne and Calaveras County. So to a certain extent, my knowledge of the Stanislaus River has some bearing on what's going on in Stanislaus County. But the whole issue revolving around water use, water rights, and the availability of water is so convoluted. It's just unbelievable.
Well, I know this sounds so general, which it is, but I think a lot of people just want to ask this simple question: do we have enough water for whatever county you're in?
Yeah, well,
I mean,
there are two ways of looking at that. A lot of local people, you'll hear them say, we have plenty of water, we just need to put it to use. Well, and you hear, during election periods, you hear politicians talk about that all the time. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter whether you're in Tuolumne County or Calaveras County, we don't have plenty of water.
Okay.
Section 102 of the California Water Code states mm-hmm. that all surface water in the state of California belongs to the people of California, which means that the state manages it, the state regulates it, the state distributes it.
Okay.
And there has been a mindset in this state for years and years and years, which I think is a mistake, but it's a mindset that says you either use it or lose it.
Oh.
If you can control it, then maybe you can have some of that water.
Okay.
Neither Calaveras nor Tuolumne County really have any reservoirs of import.
Okay.
Certainly not enough to justify having a year's supply of water, for instance.
Right.
Calaveras County may be in better shape for water, at least in terms of water rights, than Stanislaus County. But given how the state has allotted it, how they have distributed it,
mm-hmm.
it's... There probably isn't anything there when you get right down to it.
Okay.
I think, for instance, I'll just go through some stuff here. On the McCullamy, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 9,000 acre feet.
Sounds like a lot of water.
Yeah, except the way water's used around here, there's usually two family units, two connections, which is what they call EFU, equivalent family
okay.
units, of water per acre foot of water. So 9,000 would be 18,000. Mm-hmm. We're already using some of that. There's a certain number of, there's some thinking now that says that maybe we need to change that thinking to four EFUs per acre foot. So that would, you know, to double the usage
right.
for the amount of water available.
Okay.
But whether or not that ever gets used is a question mark for two reasons. Number one, you have to get it to where it's going to be used.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an expensive process.
Meaning piping?
Well, $150 a foot for water pipe.
Is that what it costs?
About that.
That was
6-8 years ago. It's probably,
wow.
you know, we had a recession, so maybe the price went down a little bit. But
right.
my guess is that that's there's some accuracy in that statement.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is that it's a known fact that all the rivers in the state of California, that is the rivers that have surface water, are over-allocated, which means that, you know, like on the McCullamy, for instance, East Bay Mud has access mm-hmm. to the bulk of the water. There's other water that goes to some other water districts that are outside Calaveras County. Stanislaus,
mm-hmm.
you have SSGID, that's the South San Joaquin Irrigation District,
okay.
and Oakdale Irrigation District, both of whom own the Tulloch Reservoir System and a couple of other lower, I think Goodwin.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, CCWD owns New Spicer Reservoir, but we get nothing off of it.
Oh my goodness.
And we're just sort of the front person for an organization called NCPA, which is the Northern California Power Authority, which manages that. And all of the rights on that river are that come to CCWD and NCPA are generation rights.
Wow.
Or what they call pass-through rights, which means
okay.
that we don't consume them, we just pass them through. So the consumptive rights that belong to anybody on the Stanislaus River are going mostly down into the valley.
Oh.
So we have a few thousand acre feet off of that, but you know, it's
just kind of curious, Bob, how did this happen? How did this...
Well, I think part of it was because there was a demand elsewhere and not here.
Oh, because our population was so few
at the time. I was told that back in the early 80s, we weren't more than about 12,000 people or so.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty small. I think Stanislaus might have, or Tuolumne County might have had more.
Uh-huh.
But that's probably only because they were a gateway to Yosemite.
Right.
Here, we're a gateway to nothing.
That's full. That's kind of a strange thing to say, but I think you're right.
I hate to say that. We don't have a road that takes us, well, I take that back. We have Highway 4 when they can keep it open.
That's true.
But
But once you hit the top of it,
yeah.
it's kind of a
yeah, where do you
exciting
go? The metropolis
that's true.
Of Barkleyville, so.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, I hate to say that. So the other thing we've got in Calaveras County besides the surface water, which isn't ours, is groundwater.
Okay.
And groundwater...
That's sounding hopeful.
Well, it is. It is if and only if you have access to it.
Okay.
You know, I'll never forget when I first moved here, this was back in the 80s, I used to see these ads on TV that would say, you know, you gotta come to this particular well driller because they can tell you whether you have water on your property, and if you buy a piece of property, you need to check with them to find out if you've got any water. So you know, there's no assurances or guarantees that if you buy property, you're gonna be able to drill a well.
Okay.
And that's because of the condition they call fractured rock. We have two. Groundwater storage comes in two areas. It's called fractured rock and basin. Now, the San Joaquin Basin is a classic case of that.
Okay.
It's just essentially a large bathtub. I mean, that's a gross oversimplification, but really what happens is it all accumulates in this basin, and people draw their water from that. That's one of the big issues right now in the valley is there's a significant overdraft because they're taking out more water than can
it's
be replaced.
Being replenished. Okay.
In the foothills with the fractured rock, if you hit a pocket of water and can sustain it,
mm-hmm.
and there's nobody else on that pocket of water, you're in great shape. If you have to share that with somebody else, that's fine. However, if rocks shift,
mm-hmm.
or if you have multiple users,
if a subdivision comes to your area,
and they decide to work off of groundwater as opposed mm-hmm. to surface water,
right?
You could lose your water supply in a hurry. Interestingly enough, it was probably about halfway through the development of Calaveras County's general plan that the Board of Supervisors said that they wouldn't allow any future development without surface water.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they didn't want people to develop a small development, you know, whether it's 10 houses or however many of the houses they come with, depend on groundwater and have it go dry, and then have to find some other supply of water.
Right.
Because, you know, we have pipes in the ground just as Tuolumne County has pipes in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
One of the interesting things is, and I seem like I'm scattered on this process, but other things occur to me when I'm thinking about it. Calaveras County is 75% privately owned.
Wow, that's a huge percentage.
It's a much larger percentage than just about any other county in the Sierra.
Oh my gosh!
In fact, it's just the opposite
idea.
with Tuolumne. Tuolumne is 75% publicly owned.
Wow!
Well, of course, you've got Yosemite. You've got a lot of BLM,
right.
And you've got a lot of,
right.
of Forest Service land. So it may be that in Tuolumne County, the populations are more concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
In Calaveras County, we're spread all over the place.
We sure are.
You know, one of the water agencies that's the Calaveras County Public Utilities District (CPUD)
mm-hmm.
gets their water out of the South Fork of the McComley up by West Point. And they pump it all the way down to McCollumy Hill. And from McCollumy Hill, a line goes into Paloma, and the other part of the line comes into San Andreas.
Wow.
That's probably about a 25-mile line.
Wow.
And they don't have that many connections. So they have a tremendous expense just trying to maintain their systems.
I bet.
Now, whether or not I suspect there are similar problems in Tuolumne County.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure to the extent that we have them here in Calaveras. So there's been a movement on the part of a lot of water agencies and a lot of planning departments of counties to concentrate
mm-hmm.
Development primarily because of the cost of service.
Right.
One of the worst things that ever happened was to develop this notion of 5 acres in Independence. Because what happens is, you know, like we have it in different parts of our county where you can have a piece of property with 5 acres, and if you're lucky enough to have good water, you can have a well and a septic.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times what happens is wells will go dry, or the quality of the water is seriously problematic. And that's mostly because of the nature of our geology.
Right.
And so water agencies have come in and they've provided public water, you know,
mm-hmm.
Potable water. But they have so much distance between connections that it becomes almost cost prohibitive to maintain them. So what happens
is
the price of water goes up.
Right.
Or the amount of usage goes down and the price goes up. But the point is that, you know, you live in the foothills, you wanna have some property, maybe some
mm-hmm.
if not a lawn, certainly a garden or something like that, and you have to use potable water because there's no ag lines, there's no raw water lines that allow you to pull
mm-hmm.
Usable water off of that for outdoor work, and then just have potable water indoors. So we've developed and grown piecemeal without a lot of good prior planning. At least that's my opinion. You know,
right,
there are people who would disagree with that, but we have problems and notions that need to be addressed, or it's going to continue to be as bad as it was.
You know what? Sometimes we used to have the false notion that water was free. It doesn't sound like water's free at all.
No. I mean, you know, one of the problems we're having is, and this could be a boon for Foothill counties and ultimately Foothill communities, if we could find a way to convince the major water users in the state. I'm talking about Metropolitan Water District, San Diego, East Bay MUD, mm-hmm. SMUD. Some of these large organizations have huge numbers of connections. If they were to be able to look at the amount of water that comes to them from our Foothill rivers, the ones mm-hmm. that we have some requirement to maintain and take care of, and pay into that mm-hmm. to the extent that we might be able to utilize some of that money for upgrading infrastructure, maintaining the watershed so that the flows are assured.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a potential source of income so that we'd have something to play off of. I mean, we're constantly broke. I mean, the Butte Fire wiped us out.
Mm-hmm.
Been some serious financial issues, not just because of the fire,
mm-hmm.
but an ongoing process unfortunately my property didn't burn, or fortunately I should say my property
didn't
burn.
Right.
Unfortunately, it didn't impact my property tax. As a matter of fact, it feels like I'm paying in a little. I'm paying a little bit more, but then that has to do with some of the upgrades we made since the fire.
Oh gosh!
But it's just essentially the water is free
okay.
to all these agencies,
right.
and they're really reluctant to want to step up and pay for something that they've gotten for free.
Right.
And that's again.
How do you even go about trying to approach that situation?
It would be a long negotiation. It would be something that would require a body of knowledge that people just don't work with right now. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
We know what it is. We just don't work with it. And the reason we don't work with it is because there's never been a requirement to.
Right. We've never had to.
But if we could demonstrate, for instance, to these larger water agencies that it would be possible to sustain a certain level of water delivery above and beyond, or at least equal to what they have now, and there's some degree of assurance that it's mm-hmm. possible we might be able to get some support, financial support, to be able to do that.
Right.
Which provides jobs, which provides, the impetus for people in the county to have something more than just a fleeting interest in living here. I mean, you remember during when the recession happened, a lot of people left the area.
Oh,
there wasn't
they
anything
did.
Here.
Right.
And so
lots of people did.
You know, we want to have a stable economy with a stable population and people utilizing the resources in the right kind of way so that it becomes sustainable, especially in light of all the other kinds of stuff that seem to be happening, whether you're committed to climate change
mm-hmm.
or not,
Just kind of curious, what would be one way, say for instance, a resident of either Calaveras or Tuolumne County, how would they educate themselves as far as this broad topic of water? What would be maybe some of the things they could do?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer because usually the conversations that take place around water are so focused that you have to come with a body of knowledge just to be able to understand what they're talking about.
Okay. You have to know something
you've got to have some basic knowledge. I mean, what we're talking about here is some of the fundamental stuff that,
mm-hmm.
that I didn't know when I was on the board, when I first started on the board.
Okay.
And I had to find that out.
Oh my gosh.
And there wasn't any way for me to find it.
Wow.
I had to go ferret it out. I mean, you can sit down and you can read through the water code and that'll tell you
mm-hmm.
the do's and the don'ts. But the minute you start trying to gather information about a specific watershed, whether you're talking about the McCollumy or the Calaveras, I mean, like for instance, I have said for years and years and years that the Calaveras River is a black hole. Nobody knows anything about the Calaveras River.
Nobody
really? Nobody knows what the flow regime is.
Huh.
They don't have that information. And why? Because, first of all, it flows mostly through private property, so there's no opportunity to go in there and do some studies.
Okay.
Unless you get permission from the landowner. There's some water impounded in New Hogan Reservoir, which is the source of water for the Valley Springs area,
mm-hmm.
Through CCWD. There's a small water agency, Valley Springs PUC or something like that, mm-hmm. which serves the downtown area of Valley Springs.
Right.
But they get their water off of a well.
So it's not even Hogan.
No, it's not Hogan.
It's groundwater.
Yeah. In fact, I think they pull their water out of the Cosgrove Creek drainage.
Really?
Yeah, they've just put some wells in just recently, in the last few years. And if you go out, I don't even know the name of the road, towards Pardee Reservoir,
mm-hmm.
there's a couple of places along there where they have their pumps, and you can actually see them. And there's a sign there that says public utility,
okay.
No trespassing stuff. So anyhow, getting back to your original question, how do you find out this information? It's a treasure hunt.
How about, is there any chance of trying to figure it out by going to the California State Water Resources, to the, you know, some of those websites? I mean, that website's huge, but it's pretty, from what I can tell, it's somewhat really general information.
You could, but I guess it really depends on what kind of information you want to know. I think one of the best things, and this is where perhaps your organization could do some mm-hmm. stuff, is to be a source for people to ask questions. You
okay.
may not be able to answer them, but you might be able to find the people who can.
Sure.
Like, for instance,
sure.
you know, you and I have talked a lot about this sort of stuff.
Right.
And I'd be more than happy to share with anybody, but I don't know who to go to or who
okay.
to see. But I'm certainly available
okay.
if anybody wants
as
to
as a resource
yeah.
for
and if,
cooperative
and if there
extension.
Is a number, if there are a sufficient number of people who are interested, mm-hmm. we can set up a lecture series or something. That's,
okay.
So we can do that kind of stuff. That's,
okay.
That's not a problem at all.
Oh, good.
So maybe that's the beginning of how you go about finding this information. Somebody listening
mm-hmm.
may say, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about because I know where to go to get it.
But
if they do, have them share it because that's really important.
Yes, yes.
One of the big issues, I talked about basin groundwater and fractured rock groundwater. One of the big issues, because it's, I would say 90% of all of our water resources in our respective counties
mm-hmm.
is in fractured rock.
Right.
And nobody knows anything about fractured rock.
That's true.
The only place that I know where they have done serious work about fractured rock is in India. Because they've got those Deccan traps, which are this huge basaltic overlay that took place somewhere back millions and millions,
mm-hmm.
I mean, 6,500 million years ago. I don't know exactly when it was formed.
Right.
Sometime during the Mesozoic period.
Okay.
At least I was thinking it was Mesozoic. It could even be earlier than that. Anyhow, it's all part of this whole tectonic process. But because they have this huge basaltic shield that overlays a large portion of India, and that's where a lot of their water is, they've done a lot of serious work on fractured rock. But I can't tell you what they've
interesting.
Done.
Interesting.
But that's where it came from.
Huh.
But we
I'm
haven't
have
done
to
that.
Check that out.
We haven't done that in the United States. Yeah, you can go in and you can look for books on fractured rock, and I'd be willing to bet that 2/3 of the people who wrote the books on it are from India.
Oh my gosh.
It's really interesting.
That is interesting.
So anyhow, our USGS has done some water quality surveys in
mm-hmm.
fractured rock.
Okay.
But nobody has done any water supply surveys. And part of the reason is, how do you judge it? Well, I don't know. But if we don't start asking those questions now, we're not going to get any answers. And,
right.
And we need to have answers. Because
right.
surface water is already committed. And for us in these smaller counties, I think, frankly, our only salvation is going to be groundwater.
Right.
So we need
right.
to be able to manage it properly. And the other thing that becomes problematic with groundwater issues is the fact that it's considered a property right.
Oh.
So my groundwater is my water, as opposed to the definition of surface water, which is water
okay.
that belongs to the people.
Right. But it just kind of curious, going back to, so if you have a 5-acre parcel,
mm-hmm.
within that 5 acres, that is your water.
If you can drill a well and have water, yes.
Okay,
but however, if somebody next to you drills a well and they go deeper and pull your...
So what if somebody's pulling more water and maybe empties the fractured rock that you both share? Then what happens?
You're both in trouble.
You're both in trouble. But there's no laws or anything like that to protect somebody.
There isn't that I'm aware of. Now, maybe there's some thinking in that direction, and maybe there's been some adjudication someplace. This is the kind of stuff that takes place in basins.
Okay.
We call them the well wars because, you know, they're out there, each one is drilling a little deeper well.
Right,
and,
right.
And that's been one of the serious problems with this basin hydrology, because it's in serious overdrive, particularly San Joaquin Basin, eastern San Joaquin Basin.
You're talking about maybe the southern and western area where it's actually sunk. I mean,
the subsidence. I love that one. I love that one picture of the man standing
next to a
telephone pole, and 20 or 30 feet in the air is where the former ground level had been.
Yeah, and the original level, if I remember right, I think it was 1964 when they measured it, and then they came back years later, like 30 years later, and it was.
Well, in some cases, the subsidence in the Central Valley is a foot a year.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And people don't know that. Some people do.
Well, they do
if you're in that area, right?
I went on a tour one time over by the. It's over in the eastern San Joaquin Valley, south of San Luis Reservoir. And I can't think of there was an earthquake over in that area a few years back. That there was so much subsidence that the houses settled in, and you know the garage door is now only about three or four feet above ground level. They sunk that deep. The houses are no longer occupied.
Oh my gosh!
There's been that kind of
That's
serious,
incredible.
Yeah,
and I have to admit, I was lucky enough to see that photo that we were talking about. But I think a lot of people aren't really aware that it really, truly is happening.
Yeah.
And it's really a phenomenon that's happening.
Yeah, from the perspective of somebody who can play the role of a homer. You know what I mean by homer?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who supports their community, their home team.
Right.
One of the great difficulties in addressing issues in the Central Valley in particular, as for our region, is the fact that we are, for all intents and purposes, their source of water.
Right.
Whether it's surface water or whether it's subterranean water that flows mm-hmm. from the foothills into the valley, we are their source of water. And we have to be careful about how it gets utilized
mm-hmm.
because it's going to have an impact on us.
Right.
Now,
you mean if they're draining too much water, it will have an impact on
us.
There's
even more than that. I can't talk specifically about Tuolumne County because I don't know, but I know there are parts of Stanislaus that where Stanislaus and Tuolumne mm-hmm. and Calaveras come together.
Mm-hmm.
And to a certain extent, I think probably Tuolumne are considered part of the eastern San Joaquin Basin or part of the Central Valley Basin. If not the eastern San Joaquin, it might be another one.
Okay.
And I looked on the map, and I looked at the geologic features, and I looked at the topography, and they've got the western part of Calaveras County almost all the way up to Valley Springs as part of the eastern San Joaquin Basin.
Wow.
And if you go down through that area, you'll know there's mm-hmm. all kinds of hills
mm-hmm.
and elevations and things like that. To me, don't suggest basin geology.
Right.
And what I'm concerned about is once they begin to establish the rules and regulations for the management of the basin,
mm-hmm.
that's going to include Calaveras County or parts of Calaveras County, which should not be included.
Well, hold that thought, Bob. I mean, I hate to say it, but we did run out of time. But you are a wealth of information, and we're going to have to come back and talk about this subject again. So I really want to thank you, Bob.
Oh, sure. My pleasure.
And goodbye.
Bye.